Expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. This is Bob Dancer along with Frank Nealon.
Hello, folks.
Tonight's guest is going to be Bill Zender, who is a writes for Pit Critters in table game management. And so we, as players, we need to kind of use some reverse engineering and take what he says and see how we can apply it to ourselves.
You call them pit critters?
Pit critters,
yes. We always called them pit fiends from Dante's Inferno.
Pit fiends.
The devils that guarded the ninth rung of hell.
Uh-huh. It sounds equally affectionate. We're nearing our end of a 6 month, or approaching our 6 month anniversary on Gambling with an Edge.
Yes.
And we're going to be making a change pretty soon.
Yep. Big announcement.
So why don't you announce away?
I am intending on leaving the show, and this was a mutual decision. When we started this 6 months ago, it was never my intention to do a show on gambling for more than a year. I mean, 1 year was... I think I said that to you, didn't I? 1 year tops?
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, I know you've said that to me several times since then, and I don't exactly recall when the first time you said that.
Well, anyway, it's always been my goal to use this as a springboard to get into full-time comedy writing, possibly working on a TV show, you know, anything else. Gambling is... For me, what I've been doing for the last, 23 years, and I was wanting a change. As a matter of fact, my book, and I think I've said this on air a few times, was supposed to be my swan song, my kind of exit out of Las Vegas so that I could, pass the torch. And as time is rolling on, I'm getting more and more mired and tied down to Las Vegas. Now, what has prompted this change is we need a format change. Listenership is dropping off a tad, and it's clear that we need to do something different. Obviously, if I was going to be, if this was going to be my life and I wanted to do gambling forever, I would probably want to spruce up the show with some more comedy, random tidbits, and things like that. But since I'm not, it doesn't make any sense for me to...
And silicone-enhanced guests, perhaps.
Well, we joked about that, but actually, I'm about as interested in those as you are. Actually, when I did have that girl on that was, a dancer, what I was actually focused on was the fact that she was a 4.0 grade average student taking care of two kids.
So, our new host, starting in 2 weeks, is going to be Richard W. Munchkin.
And he's great.
He was on the show June 30th. If you want to download that show and listen to him, his book is called Gambling Wizards, which are conversations with 8 very successful gamblers, and he's an interesting guy. So he is a former poker player, backgammon player. He's in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. He's produced some movies. He brings one of the problems with Frank, if that's the right word.
Oh, you can use that word.
Is his specialty video poker is the same as mine.
Very similar.
And he knows more about progressives than I ever will. But any discussions on the show about video poker progressives, I can probably deal with. And
I have absolute faith in you. And the topic of progressives doesn't really come up that much. Not too many people play them.
But when the topic is blackjack or poker or Some of the other things, Richard Munchkin is an expert at that, and he knows everybody. He is extremely well connected. So he's going to be starting in 2 weeks.
You know, he's also got a media background.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, he did movie production.
Yes, he does.
So he's got, it seems like he's got all the things that I have, plus a much broader spectrum.
And a whole lot of stuff that you don't. So this is good.
Yeah, he's shorter, though. Yeah.
He is. He did not get the name Munchkin because he looks like Shaquille O'Neal.
I would just like to say one thing. So to all the listeners out there that, you know, have been tuning in to hear me, I would really appreciate it. I mean, I just wish Bob nothing but the best with this change. And I think it will be a change for the best, actually. Certainly, it would be a change for the best in the long term because I'm not going to be around. No matter how well the show went, I was never going to be around for forever. So please keep listening to the show. I'm sure Bob will make it entertaining, informative, and every bit as good as it ever was, and probably better.
Thank you. Next week, I'm not going to be here. I have an appointment I cannot get out of, and so Frank is going to be hosting his final show by himself. So, what are you going to do so as not to scare off listeners? What's going to happen?
I'm actually doing a very balanced show. I'm going to do it a little bit more like my concept would have been, you know, had you never been around. A little bit more variety. But it is going to be, you know, gambling related. My first guest, I'm just really stoked about this. He is a slot team manager, progressive slot team manager in Australia. And he has read my book and is implementing things from it as we speak. So, and when I wrote my book, I mean, mostly I wrote it as an entertaining history. I did not expect anyone to be reading it and going out and doing exactly what I did now today. And when I got an email from this fellow, his name is Peter Liston, just a very nice guy, I was shocked. So he's going to be my first guest.
Good.
And then I did want to, you know, since this is the last show I'm going to get on, I wanted to have Dr. McCowan on again to talk about his new book, which I had promised him that we would do last time I had him on for the best possible odds. So it might be a short...
Dr. McCowan is in people with the gaming addiction disorders or other disorders.
Well,
is that right?
He does do some treatment, but he's actually one of the foremost researchers into gambling addiction in the United States and one of the biggest advocates for changes and reform in how gambling addiction is treated. There are some insane policies right now. For instance, if you go in with mild gambling addiction, you cannot get treated anywhere. They want you to basically go overboard and blow all your money before they're willing to treat you.
Oh.
Imagine this with anything else. If you went in with, you know...
If you were only 20 pounds overweight, they would want you to be 1,000 pounds overweight before they treated you.
Yeah, I mean, this is not how we
Sounds
handle...
Sounds like fun getting 1,000 overweight.
Well, I might enjoy it. just thinking about all that good food. Now you've made me lose my train of thought, Bob. Okay, stop thinking about food. But yeah, he is really a champion for the cause, and he's by the way, he's not negative on gambling at all. He says 96% of everybody that does it never has a problem and just enjoys it, and it's a recreational pastime. He's actually the most positive on gambling researcher that I'm aware of that's doing research into gambling addiction.
Okay, good. How many people are you aware of who are doing research in gambling addiction?
There's about 20 right now in the country.
Oh, very good.
Which is absurdly small, you know, when you consider how prevalent it is.
Yeah, good. Let's get a couple commercials out of the way before Bill Zender calls in.
Oh, and I'm wrapping up the show with singing and violin playing.
Singing and violence?
Violin. I'm going to bring my violin in.
Uh-huh.
I dug it out of its safe storage. It's a 143-year-old Italian violin.
Uh-huh. Are you good? Are you been practicing? Are you
Indeed, I have.
Very good. Are you going to tell the listeners what you're going to be playing? Or have you decided yet?
I'm probably going to play a piece by my violin teacher called Serenade to a Kiss by Harold Geller.
Serenade to a Kiss.
Yes.
Good. All right.
All right. And that's it. So next week's show, all by myself. When the cat's away, the mice will play. But that's not really true. I'm going to do a pretty stable show.
All right. And in 2 weeks, it'll be Richard Munchkin and me. And our guest will be Annie Duke, who is... a very good poker player who's written a book which is best-selling on Amazon now in the gaming field.
Kind of easy on the eyes, too.
Yeah, and her fiancé thinks so, and her four kids like her. So go for it, Frank. She's a pretty girl.
I just said she was pretty. I didn't say I was going to go after her.
Okay, good. South Point has more than 10,000 video poker machines, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody anywhere else in the world. Most local players on South Point's mailing list got a postcard this month, which entitles them to $40 a week for 4 weeks. And this is, we're in the third week now. But the way that works is you come in and collect $15 on Friday or Saturday, and then you come in and collect another $25 the following Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Which, since you probably were going to be in there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday anyway to pick up free play, that's really only one additional trip. It is free money if you're on their list. If you live in Omaha, you're not going to come here for $25 extra. But if you're in the Vegas area, most players will drive a few miles to pick up an extra $40 a week. I do recommend that if you do pick that up, you play a little bit extra. Do not hit and run and just play exactly the minimum, or some people who have done that have found themselves not on the list anymore. There's going to be free video poker classes there at the end of August. It's going to be on Wednesdays this time, and it's going to be in the Grandview Lounge, which is as far south in the casinos you can get. It's in the new section of the casino that just opened up a few months ago. So that's going to be starting August 31st. Silverton, their drawings on Monday are a little bit different than they used to be. They now have two drawings, and you can win at most twice, but 50 people win, and they win at least $50. So they're giving away at least $5,000. And then when you win, you pick up a multiplier that's usually one, but it can go up to 10. So you're going to win somewhere between $50 and $500. And they also have a gas promotion where whenever you play $500 coin in, you get a once per day, put your hand into a red gas can and pick out a award. It is usually $5 in free play. It can go as high as a $100 gas card. Palms, their weekly drawing is called the 176,000 money bags giveaway. There are three drawings, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Last week I played a whole bunch and I did get called twice for a total of $2,200. It was actually disappointingly small. I was hoping to get called more. But it is good. You can earn tickets by playing. There's a lot. Most people in the valley got a coupon book where you can play. You get double points on either Saturday or Sunday. And so although most of them are gone by this time of the month, there's still some out there, and there will be people playing very heavily this Saturday for having a shot in the Saturday and Sunday drawings.
I even won once last week.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You came in. He actually came in ahead of me, but yet he was behind me. It happens that the first three people...
I'm here before you to stand behind you.
That's it. The first three people in the drawing are all equal, sort of. They draw... There's five envelopes up on the board that go from 500 to 4,000 with an average of 1,800. And you pick an order, but your EV is 1,800, and whether you pick first, second, or third. Frank picked 1,000. I picked 1,500.
So you ended up being more equal than I was.
Closer to the EV. We were actually both hoping for the 4,000, but neither one of us cried. It's a nice... anyway, it was a nice drawing.
I'm always crying on the inside, Bob.
We have... let's talk about Bill Zender. Bill Zender has an MBA and more than 30 years' experience in the gaming industry. He's widely recognized within the industry as a leading authority on all aspects of casino management and game protection. Back in the 90s, he was a part owner, vice president, and director of casino operations at the old Aladdin Hotel and Casino, which is now where Planet Hollywood is. He wrote some books on it, and at that time, the book he had out was Card Counting for the Casino Executive. I read that as a player wanting to know how casino executives were thinking, because at that time I was a card counter. In addition to these accomplishments, Bill spent 2 years as a member of the Nevada Gaming Control Board as an agent with the Division of Enforcement. He is owner and instructor at a dealing school. He was Asian Games Manager at Desert Inn and other consulting things. His two most recent books are Casinoology and Casinoology 2. I have a suggestion for the name of his next book, but I won't tell it till later. Bill Zender, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Yeah, welcome, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Bill. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent.
All right. Now, recently in Atlantic City, there was a player who was said to have made millions of dollars playing blackjack. And the way he did that was he took advantage of a casino rebate promotion. If he won, he'd keep the money. If he lost, his losses were discounted 10 or 20% or whatever the number was. 10 years ago, when I was playing big stakes video poker at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, there was a similar program in effect for players of Asian descent. How big of an advantage is this to the players? And how common is this? And how big does a player have to be in order to get this?
Well, I tell you what, I was really kind of amazed by that story. I originally read it in the paper, and it kind of glazed over it because, you know, a lot of places they don't understand their risk range, so they, you know, they take a big beating and they don't understand why. And then I started to read it, and I couldn't believe they were given this rebate situation. One of the things about rebating is that you're basically giving, you know, of course, you're giving people money back for losing, and it's predicated on how well you do as the player. On one, the game's volatility, and number two, the house advantage of the game. And like a game like Baccarat is perfect for doing rebates for the casino because they don't really get into too much trouble. If they give them a very, very short rebate period, it's still they're going to make money. They're not going to get, you know, totally hurt because of the other two factors. When I looked at, just to give you an idea, I looked at Johnson playing 100,000 hands, and if after 50 hands, he's playing $100,000 a hand. After 50 hands, playing blackjack, and I gave him a house advantage of about 0.23. Because of the cost of the rebate, the cost of rebate to the casino is like 500%. He actually lowered the house advantage down to just under one, or his advantage, give him an advantage of 1%. So by doing it and allowing him after 50 hands to take this, they've given him 1% advantage. Now, let's say we took it down to 5 hands. This is what I can't understand why the casino did this, but of course, and it works out for the advantage player, is it would actually be a 3% player advantage. His EV would be roughly a little bit better than 3%. And, 3% of $100,000 per wager is, you know, $3,000. I mean, how can this guy possibly lose?
Well, yeah, okay. Of course, in video poker, probably the max bet isn't $100,000, but still, that's good, because you do lose most of the time. So if you can quit whenever you want to, that's good. So are these rebates common?
I'm sorry, the rebates what?
Are rebates like this common? Is this a super salesman can talk their way into it and hope the marketing manager is arithmetically challenged? How does this work?
Well, I hate to say it. I see this all the time. And what happens is the casino executives put pressure on marketing to get, we want more players in here. And for some reason, what they do is they pressure them to get in big players. With the bigger the player, of course, it's supposed to be the better. And so they say, okay, what are you going to do to get all these big players in here? And you go, well, let's see now. And we get this monkey see, monkey do attitude. Well, they're giving rebates, we'll give rebates. And they don't even know the mathematics behind it. The only people who are going to get the seriously good stuff, unless there's a serious mistake made, are going to be the high-limit players. you know, depending on the size of the property. I mean, I don't think any property that has a $5,000 or less limit, I should say about $3,000 or less limit, would consider giving rebates. I mean, they may or may not in the table games. Anything above that, they would. As far as video poker goes, I'm not sure how that would work out, Bob.
Yeah, at the MGM, it was your markers were discounted. So people would go and take out $100,000 in markers and pay back $90,000. And that was a pretty good deal.
You know, that's a 10,000%, excuse me, that's a 10% rebate.
On the amount that you're borrowing, but of course, if you're playing, you know, $500,000 through that, then it's, you know, it's 10,000 on $500,000, which is a much lower percent. Or if you're playing $1,000,000 through, that's
this is very creative math.
But it is it's good for the player if you can talk your way into it.
I got a question for you on card counting. Casinos have obviously gotten pretty good at recognizing typical card counting. Now, from what I've read, you're under the belief that most card counters should be tolerated by casinos. So it's a two-part question. Why is that? And you've been expressing this view in print for at least 15 years. Have you found casino management coming around to your point of view?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I like that. The first question is something I get asked all the time. The second question is very necessary. The first question is, why do I tolerate it? Well, when I was at the Aladdin, and you've got to remember that at one point I was a card counter, professional level card counter. I didn't have a big bankroll, but I still go through the same problems that everybody else did. And I know it's not walk in the door and win $1,000, right? Mm. So when I was at the Aladdin, and we had a nice game, we dealt down to, you know, a six-deck game, we dealt down to 26 cards. I divided the counters into three groups. First, you have the novice amateur counter. And those people play just about the same as an average blackjack player because they think they can count and they make a lot of mistakes. So they're not a threat to me. They want to come in and they want to play, that's fine. Then you have what we call the semi-professional card counter. And semi-professional, to me, is more like a basic strategy player. We'll tolerate them unless they start to get greedy. And at the Aladdin, we had our policy was...
What does greedy mean? Does that mean like a 10-to-1 spread on a double-deck game? 30, what is greedy?
100-to-1.
Oh, 100-to-1 on a two-deck game? Yeah, that sounds...
I'll tell you what I had. I had a guy come in, and he had his limit was $5 to 100 on a six-deck shoe and $5 to 50 on a double-deck game. He's an older man.
Okay.
I told him, as long as he could do that and keep his spread to that limit, he could play. Because I knew that, I mean, what you beat me for, maybe $5 an hour, if that, $4 an hour.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And so one day I walked in the pit, and he went by the name of John Smith. We know that's an AKA. I walk in the pit, and Mr. Smith was betting $200 on a six-deck game. And I go, Mr. Smith, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, Bill, I'm sorry. It was such a good count, I had to take it. I said, well, you broke our contract. See you later, Mr. Smith. And that's what happened. And most of those guys, if they bet anywhere in just reds and greens, they could play forever. We didn't even bother. Now, when we got the black action, then we looked at them really close. And I'll tell you, people ask me, how many did we back off during that period? From 92 to 97, about 5.5 years, we ended up backing off about 230 people. Huh. And you know, to tell you the truth, when you break that down, that's only about, you know, only a handful a year. You know, a handful a month, I should say.
So. That's like... That's as many as every professional gambler that's in my industry.
Well, I mean, Barbary Coast would do that many a month during that period.
Well, they were Barbary. I worked with those guys at the Royal Inn when I broke in deal in '76, and they just felt that if anybody walked in the door and they were counting cards, they needed to throw them out.
So, are you having any luck convincing casinos to go ease up on them?
Well, you know, the thing is, that's one of my deals. When I give game protection classes on card counting, I say, you know, you can't, you know, don't watch the movie 21 and think that's the way it is. You know, you just can't walk in and suck up thousands of dollars. And I actually did I pulled about 100 guys one time. I said, okay, a professional level player has been from $25 to $400. If he's on a table with other people, other players, how much money do you think he can make it now? And then the guys are getting $1,200, you know. I mean, it was everything was over $500, you know. And then I told them it's like anywhere from $35 to $50. They just couldn't believe it. And the thing is, I said, you put so much focus on card counting, you miss all this other stuff.
That's a good point. Yeah. Look not for the splinter in your neighbor's eye and miss the rafter in your own.
Now, there are blackjack games where there are ways that players can take advantage of blackjack games that some casinos are essentially blind to. What would those be? In other words,
we'll go ahead, finish off and I'll...
Well, just pretend like I'm finished.
He was finished.
Thanks for the translation.
Yeah. Well, anyway, here's what the thing is that casinos looked at that they've actually used the term advantage play for both card counters and advantage play. Now, to me, an advantage player is, and even James Grosjean says this, is like light years ahead of just the average card counter. So, what they're doing, what I've found out is that Spanish 21. We all boohooed it. Nobody's ever going to count it because there's four tens and a salary debt. Well, you know, a lot of the professional players are now playing Spanish 21. Why? Because casinos don't even look at them. So they can get unbelievable spreads and nobody even bothers to look. Another area that's being attacked heavily is hold carding on a shoe game. Now, we all know about hold carding on a hand pitch game. And believe me, right after they put the 6-to-5 games in, there was a lot of hole carding going on because the casinos didn't train their people to put in a hole card. But you can get it in the shoe game, and it basically wraps around the fact that they beat the game by getting the dealer to hop the corner of the rack. And of course, you know, the layouts have to be pulled in. There's some other things that need to be done. Casinos don't even look at that. I know a casino in town that. The whole card team played for over 2 weeks before they caught him. They caught on to it. And these guys were ones that were trying to burn it out. They were hitting, you know, 17s and 18s and doubling down on 5 and stuff like that. So the thing is that the casinos...
You'd think that would be pretty obvious. Now, whole carding means identifying what the card that the dealer should have down, but somehow the players get to peek at it where they shouldn't, according to the rules.
Right, and that's it. There's two big secrets in blackjack. It's the whole dealer's hole card and the top card of the deck.
Yes.
And the thing is, if you can pick up the hole card and even play it, you know, very conservative, you can have about a 6% advantage depending on the frequency that you can see it. So if you can see it 100% of the time, play very conservative, you can have a 6% advantage, which is like six times stronger in card counting. If you play aggressively, Grosjean quoted a value of 13%.
But that's doubling down on fives.
Yeah, there you go. Doubling down on 3-2 against a 10 up with a 6 and a hole. I mean, to me, the blind man's going to see that one. But, you know, if it's a shoe game, can't be hole card because no one doesn't put a hole card in.
Of course, if you made a slight mistake and it was actually a 7 in the hole, it might affect your results a little bit. All right.
Oh yeah, seriously.
It's one notch below, you know, wearing a Riddler, you know, comic book character outfit into the casino.
Now, Griffin Book. The Griffin Book identifies players, and it can group them as cheats or as advantage players or as card counters. And as far as the Griffin is concerned, they're all the same. And once the player gets in the Griffin Book, rightly or wrongly, he can't seem to get out of it. Players consider this outrageous, probably unconstitutional, and blah, blah, blah. What is your view on the Griffin Book?
Well, first of all, Beverly Griffin does not like me because I represented Grosjean and Russo in that lawsuit they had. So Beverly's listening. Hi, Beverly. But my feeling on it is that...
Were you waving one finger at her when you said hi? I just wanted to know that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Bob. Bob.
But anyway, what the thing is that the Griffin Book originally was designed for jackpot verifications. Back, and Griffin had come over from the sheriff's department as a detective, Bob Griffin, anyway. And he had all these pictures, and actually he went ahead and got more pictures. And then he branched out into saying, okay, these guys are dice scooters, these guys are card markers, these guys are hand markers. And then he said, wait a minute, I can make some more much money if I start reporting all these card counters. So these rolled into the card counting. And so what they've done over the years is they put people who are advantage players, intelligent, honest, working, you know, using your mind to beat the game advantage players, on the same page with guys that were stealing money out of the slot machines or using slugs or they're using yo-yo or guys marking cards or switching cards and so on and so forth, people that were they can be convicted for felony offenses. And, yeah, I don't like it. And to tell you the truth, all the clubs I worked in, I never had the Griffin book.
But most other casinos do, or many other casinos do?
Well, I don't think they do as much anymore because the Griffin book has run its course. I mean, you don't. The fact is that nowadays, we even had with the SIM network at the Aladdin, we did with the fax machine. Now everybody emails things back and forth. One of the areas that they've been using is the Oregon Surveillance Network, where they've been putting pictures up there. And again, I hate to say this, but they're putting advantage players in with some of the cheaters. It's mostly on advantage players. But the Griffin book, as far as I'm concerned, is running its course, and I don't know too many people that really use it.
Okay, good.
If a player wanted to have an advantage at Baccarat, what kind of promotion should he try to talk the casino into? In general, how open are casinos to discussions of this sort, and how big do you need to play in order to get casinos to talk to you?
Well, do you want to talk about the deals with the actual location playing Baccarat?
Deals,
yeah.
Okay, all right. The deals, the only way I can see a deal in Baccarat, see, the rebate program isn't as volatile because the game has a stable house advantage of right around 1.1%, and it has a very low volatility, you know. And so unless, of course, no, I'm saying that without taking into consideration the effect of the of any of the dragon bonus hands. But anyway, the only way I could see doing it would be to look for the non-negotiable programs and try to work that angle. On a non-negotiable program, it's, you know, I'll give you a little background. If, let's say, I buy in for $10,000 at the cage, and they can give me up to $10,200 in non-negotiable chips, which are multi-play chips. They play until they lose. And the house would basically break even to that. That means they're giving up 2%. A lot of the casinos, Harrah's was really heavy into giving back 1.5%. Now, if you figure that and you decide you're going to try to play the comp game with them, if they let you have the comps and maybe, you know, whatever else you can get from them, I think you could turn it into a break-even game. But unless the non-negotiables go higher, the percentage of payback goes higher, I don't see where you could really get it. There are some programs that are set up fraudulently. And when they set them up fraudulently, the players actually get like 10% back. Which means every time you bought in for $10,000, you'd make $700. So I mean that's the way to do it. So I would suggest you.
Do you happen to know where that's going on at the current time? No, sorry,
Bob.
I tell you a little story. I had one client that did that, and they didn't want to come on. I said, get off of that 10%. Get rid of it. And they go, well, we're going to wait 2 weeks to let we don't want our host to lose face. I go, well, then can I come down and play? And then next day they shut it off. So.
Yes.
You were of the same mind.
You mentioned casinos email back and forth pictures of advantage player that's in town. So even though, like, Caesar's Palace may be competing with the Bellagio, they seem to share information about big, you know, card counters who are in town. Is this a lot more common now than it used to be, or has this always been in effect, or what?
Well, you know, the thing is, the connection is only as good as the people trading information back and forth. So let's say Caesars and the Bellagio might be competitors, but let's say that the director of surveillance at Caesars is a friend of the director of surveillance at the Bellagio, and then they probably swap stuff back and forth. Now, I know they do I don't know how much they're doing it now on card counters and advantage players, but I do know that most casinos will swap information back and forth on, like, roulette pass posters, dice scooters, cheaters, and so forth. So I'm not really sure exactly how much they pass back and forth, but I know it is. It's there. It's available. And if you're my buddy and I want to warn you about somebody I think's coming over to your club, I might send you the picture.
A number of players survive on match play or similar coupons. I actually knew a little husband and wife couple that pulled on about $46,000 a year doing that. If players can survive on them, it seems likely that they are losing deal for the casino's point of view. Do you agree? And do you see casinos decreasing or increasing this in the future?
Well, to tell you the truth, the match play, I don't know one casino in the country that makes money on match play, but most of them do it. Almost all of them do it. Probably 75 to 80% of them do it. In the state of Washington, they're so hooked on match play that they're in the death spiral. They just keep throwing more match play out. And one of my clients, I said, just get rid of the match play. We can't, because if we do, we might lose our business. I said, you're not making any money to it. All you're doing is costing your club money by doing it. I think what you're going to see in the future is the match play is going to go away, and they're going to come up with something else. Matter of fact, you know Elliot Jacobson? Elliot wrote the book on contemporary table designs.
I know him well. He used to work for my company.
Good. Elliot and I are actually right now trying to come up with new coupons that the casinos can use that will have a good perceived value for the player, won't cost the casinos an arm and a leg. And I don't know if that's good for you guys or bad for you guys, but there's so much. And I tell you what, if I was an advanced player, playing match play coupons would be really top of my list, because there's a lot of places where they just throw it at the players and hope that they come in.
Well, good. Back at the Aladdin in the 90s, they had coupons where you place, it wasn't coupons, but it was you play, I'm making this up, but 4 hours with a $5 a hand bet, and the casino gives you $80 or $200 or some such. And so that used to be my bread and butter way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And that was under your regime.
We had the GSP program, the Gambler Spree program.
Uh-huh.
And the GSP program, if you penciled it out, you know, and everybody played right to the number, it didn't make money for the casino. But what it did a couple of things. One is, if you didn't qualify, if you didn't get the time in, which most places people didn't, we didn't give them anything. So we actually got a person in there to play. They had to pay for the full value for their room. If you remember, we gave it back to you in room credit and food credit. But another thing is, a lot of the players who played over that, then we were able to take them, convert them off of the GSP, and turn them into regular players. We just hooked them to a host. So basically what we were doing is we were doing a little bit of phishing at the same time. And all in all, at the time, the GSP actually worked really good for us, believe it or not.
Well, good. They tried to convert me into being a regular player by telling me I was not eligible for the Gambler Spree program anymore. So that's how they tried to convert me.
With all the match play coupons out there, I mean, it's not as much as it was before, I think, but 10 years ago, I had a hard time understanding how anyone in Las Vegas could be homeless. Or I mean, you could easily make $50 a day guaranteed with no chance of loss just playing match plays walking up and down the strip.
That's true.
Yet people were bumming $5 for food. It confused me.
All right. Last question. Most of our audience is video poker people. And in video poker, it helps players that most marketing types are right brain or creative people rather than left brain mathematical people. Since obviously this must also happen in the table game world. What are some of the best ways players can take advantage of the right brain characteristics of the people who design casino promotions?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I look at different promotions that come out, and there's...
You're distressingly left-brained for a player's point of view, but okay.
Well, the thing is that when some of these are just... They've been put together without any type of thought. I mean, let's do this and let's see if we get the player in here. And there's a lot of people making serious mistakes out there in their promotions.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you the biggest...
We've noticed.
Yeah, well, here's the biggest blunder I've seen.
Okay.
Was the one at Fox, or not Fox, at Mohegan Sun last year.
Uh-huh.
And they decided to do the triple down on blackjack. Not double down, you could triple down. So if you had $100 wagered, instead of only doubling down for another additional 100, you could double down for 200.
Oh.
Yes, yeah. I heard about that in advance, and everybody says every counter in the world is going to be there.
Now, I'll tell you what, that I tried to warn them. They got a hold of me, so what do you think? I said I wouldn't do it, and they said, well, it's too late now. We're going to do it because we don't want to make our marketing department look bad. I said, okay. And I don't know. I can't remember what the damage was. I've heard the figure 300,000, but I don't even know if that's true.
Well, that's...
They got off lucky.
And that's because they cut the promotion very soon after it started.
Days.
Thank you very much for being on this show. We hope your Casinoology and Casinoology 2 do well. Is there anything else you would like to tell us about before we send you on your way?
No, I really appreciate the chance to get here and talk to your people, and I wish you guys the best of luck. And, you know, there's still a little bit of me. It's... advantage player, so it's
yeah. I was going to ask you about that. Having played both sides of the fence, have you ever just wanted to kick yourself out of a casino? Is that?
I think I've done that anyway.
Yeah, well, I get asked that
I
all
think
the time.
The Aladdin, you know, but no. The thing is if people ask me if I miss it, I don't miss it. I'm by heart, I'm the opposite side. I'm the dark side, the casino side.
Hmm. Very good. You got to go where your heart is. Thank you very much, Bill.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you.
Mr. Zender, great having you on the show.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. That was interesting.
Yeah.
We normally, most of our audience are video poker players, and so we're thinking about it from that side of it. But the table game side, there's a lot of opportunities there for the
there is.
For the players.
You know, Baccarat was my mother's dirty little secret.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she used to make excellent money as a card counter, work for our progressive team, and then go blow it on Baccarat.
So a number of gamblers who have, shall we call them, leaks in their games,
mm-hmm.
where I think sports betting is one of them, and et cetera. Now,
I just have a leak in my head, right? Is that gray matter oozing out the left ear
that,
there.
Is that singular leak you said? All right.
Oh, thanks.
Now, things are happening at the... Something's going on with the M. What's happening at the M?
Oh, you want me to say this? Okay. Yes. The M has not been making much money on the progressive bank that we put in there. So I think they're completely justified in scaling back the pay schedule a little bit. I mean, it's got to be profitable for them. Or it's not going to be viable to keep it in there.
So how do they do this?
Well, they're doing it actually. I put it out to VP Free, you know, and asked people for their best advice on what to do. And my thinking on it was to make the games harder. You know,
uh-huh.
really difficult strategy games, things like One Eye Jacks and Sevens Wild and stuff like that, to make it so difficult to play perfectly that the casino would make more money from mistakes.
And I had the opposite point of view, I thought.
You had the opposite point of view, and a lot of the people on VP Free had the opposite point of view. They said if you go throwing all these weird games out there, then they call them ploppies. You know, we used to just call them citizens or pumpers, but the regular folk are not going to play games that they've never heard of, never seen before, and, you know, that are unfamiliar.
Right.
So the M listened. They listened to the folks on VP Free, and they have kept the basic game structure almost identical and just scaled back the pay scale so that it's about 1% worse on each game. I think the exception was double-double has been changed to triple-double.
No, I think double-double is still there. The super-double bonus is no longer there, but now triple-double bonus is.
Okay.
So, which has the advantage in that people who thought the variance on these machines was too low, now, triple-double bonus will add to the variance.
Oh, good. Yes, because there were just a lot of people saying that.
Oh, yeah. They just thought it was just too boring to play with these and lose $1,000 every day they played it. They just
For everyone out there that's unclear, Bob was being sarcastic.
So, what's the... So as of 5 o'clock today, what was the current level of the progressives? Do we have that?
Yes, I wrote it on the back of a Joker Poker strategy that I had in my pocket. So
now you need new strategy sheets because it's different games.
I think people can make their own.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to be able to make 8 in a week. All right. So on the dollar, the jacks are better, was at 91.87. The Joker Poker was our highest meter at 93.99. The Deuces Wild was up to a whopping $8,732. On the quarter level, our highest meter was currently the Deuces at 24.16. Bonus Poker was at 23.12. And the Double Double Bonus Poker was at 2,078.
All right. Good.
So, you know, everyone, there was a lot of confusion about, you know, what the actual return of this progressive was. And actually, in its previous state, with meter rise added to the return, plus, you know, points and mailer, it was very close to 101%. And it turned out the people that were playing it were only making, you know, at most 100% errors. The casino manager shared me that after that, when they just did the accounting a week ago on the quarter bank, they had in fact made a profit on the bank, and that profit was exactly to the penny, $1.
Per, not that it matters, per machine, per day?
No.
Per total?
For the bank, collectively.
Ah, and they were disappointed in that.
Yes, Bob, they were disappointed.
All right.
So, actually, you know, with the changes, people are going to say, oh, these machines, okay, we understand that. But the reality is that they've changed them from 101% return to about 100% return. And now the errors will actually be their profit.
Well, and also, so with a 1% tighter game, the meter has to be 2,000 coins higher for the same return. So what
for the same return, but you could also scale back your expectations.
So if you were normally required a 11,000 coin royal or be interested to jump on now, you should look for a 1,300.
I mean, people play 99.2%, you know, 5A bonus poker. The M progressive is still going to be much better than that.
Yes, yes, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is our last show together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's reminisce a little bit. What would have been your, and I'm throwing him a curveball because I just thought of this and he doesn't know this is coming.
No, I didn't.
So what would be, which of the shows did you enjoy the most during our tenure here?
Oh, wow. That's hard to say.
All right. So, like, I enjoyed the interview with Richard Munchkin. I enjoy Stanford Wong.
I think I had the most fun with the food critics, you know, where I got to cook for them and sample. They got to try out my, you know, chicken tikka masala and all that.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just because that was a fun creative thing for me. And
well, that's your passion, so
It's pretty neat to be able to cook for the two top food critics in the city and then have them tell you that they enjoyed it. I mean, then they practically licked the plates.
Well, you asked them on the air. What are they going to say?
Hey, you don't know those guys. If they don't like something, they say it.
Okay, good. Yeah, you got to be pretty opinionated to be a food critic.
You do not get to be a food critic without being opinionated. My second favorite show, I think, was the guy we had on about the sports betting, Michael Connick. I don't know. I really liked him.
Good. We're going to have him on again. He has a book with an intriguing title of The Man with the $100,000 Breast.
Oh, yes. I've heard about that.
And that's it's a book of short stories, and that's just that particular story is one of them. But he will be on soon.
You know, we have, though, been enormously fortunate in the guests that we've gotten. I mean, when I look back on it, there was not one single guest that I did not enjoy having on. And incidentally, that is not the norm.
Yeah, I'm still blown away that the commissioner of the Gaming Control Board said, yeah, sure, I got nothing better to do. I'll be on your show. I kind of thought
I sent him a very nice letter to encourage him to come on. When I was doing that show before this one, the Peter J. Shields Unexplained Mystery Show, I mean, they had, you know, a great variation in guests, and he was telling me about how he liked one and the other one was a problem, and we have had the best of it. We really have. I wanted to make a comment about your VP classes. Do we have time for that?
Sure. Well, we got, Lawrence, how much time we have? 3 minutes? About 3 minutes.
Okay, about 3 minutes. There were a bunch of comments on videopoker.com. In reference to your video poker classes being dull or you know, boring. And I've been to your classes. I've also taught, you know, video poker classes in the past. And what people don't seem to be factoring in here is this is the equivalent of your ABCs. When you go to a video poker class, you are learning the basic foundation for how to play the game. It's not supposed to be interesting.
Well, yes,
or exciting or fun or as entertaining as actually playing video poker.
Yeah, well, it's like a math class.
It's like a math class.
Yep.
So the subject matter is extremely dry. If you were to able, you know, to give a riveting, exciting class on video poker, then you wouldn't be teaching video poker strategy, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I would be reading my novel, Sex, Lies, and Video Poker. Those were riveting and exciting.
Yes. I mean, you know, people have asked me, well, couldn't you give a more exciting class than Bob? Well, yeah, I suppose I could do a couple costume changes, wear a tutu, and, you know, sing a couple songs. But, again, all of that stuff that I would be doing would not actually be part of talking about video poker strategy. It would be pointless, superfluous embellishment, you know? Video poker strategy is dull. It's not supposed to be exciting. And people coming to your classes with the expectation that it's going to be, you know, a Broadway musical, I think, is just unrealistic, don't you?
Yes, they do. Hearing you sing, has people might come back for that twice. Hearing me sing, no chance.
Anyway, your classes are at least, I would say, twice as entertaining as the classes that our team used to give to our employees. And of course, we were paying people, so we expected them to sit in their seats, you know, be quiet and listen to the course material. But as far as entertainment value goes, you did as good a job as my mom, which is saying a lot.
Oh, that's the highest compliment in the world Frank can give somebody. It's when he speaks about his mom or his dad, his eyes glaze over in admiration of these people.
They were pretty amazing.
Yep. All right. So we got 1 minute left.
So that's something I wanted to get out there while we were still, you know, doing the show together. And
I appreciate the acknowledgement. Thank you.
When you go to a video poker class, folks, you are going there. This is the hard work that comes before reward. It's dull and it's dry and it's boring, and that's expected. You know, if it was anything else, then the person teaching the class is not giving you good information. So that's all I had to say on the subject. It's been wonderful doing the show with you, Bob.
All right, and I wish you best of luck with your Australian and Dr. McCown next week.
Yeah, I'm sure the show will go great. And, you know, if you need any, we've talked about me coming back to do guest appearances, and you know I'm always there for you for that.
Well, good. I appreciate that, and we might. And I'm going to write up on my next column on the LVA blog will be about this being our last show together. So thank you very much. Now everybody go out and hit lots of royal flushes.
All right. Yeah, folks, we'll see you next week for my solo show. Don't miss it.
Are you stressed out, getting too much caffeine in your diet, trouble sleeping, or perhaps you just have chronic insomnia? If you've already tried meditation and given up on medications, now try the soft, sonorous, somnambulistic tones of Gambling with an Edge Nights Out. We've meticulously gone through all our shows to pick out only the least interesting segments and the most monotonous tidbits, splice them together in an endless loop that would make eternity seem short and oblivion a choice vacation destination. Hear Frank lecture on probability math. Listen to an entire Bob Dancer video poker class with all the fun and informative parts edited out, played over and over and over again. And if that's not enough, get a full dissertation on Frank's love life, unedited, guaranteed to be more mind-numbing than a pan-galactic gargle blaster and far less interesting than a political convention or Jerry Lewis telethon. Yes, folks, put on Gambling with an Edge Nights Out, and in mere moments, you'll be safely swaddled in the mellow, melancholy, mellifluous mists of Morpheus, bound for a dream quest of unknown Kadath. Leave your worries behind as ours bore you to sleep, or at least tears, faster than you could say a very long word that's difficult to say. When using Gambling with an Edge Nights Out, side effects should include confusion, depression, and drowsiness, but may also include poorly defined existential karmic conundrums and subclinical nonspecific middle-aged angst. Use only as directed by a physician, preferably one with a sense of humor. For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the M, the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website videopoker.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next Thursday for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity.
The Water District, the Water Authority, and the Springs Preserve are inviting women, minority, veteran, and small and disadvantaged business owners to attend a free supplier opportunity fair Wednesday, July 27th. Do you want to sell your products and services to us? Stop by and learn the bidding process. Enjoy roundtable discussions and hear legislative updates. So mark your calendar for Wednesday, July 27th at the Water District, 1001 South Valley View Boulevard. To RSVP or to get more info, call 258-3200 or visit lvvwd.com.
I'm Mark.
Listen up.
And I'm Jessica.
Word up.
And we're the Jerks.
Keep it real.
We've got the Jerk Show every Tuesday through Saturday right here on KLAV AM 1230.
Westside.
Listen every day and your life will be enriched.
With 10 gigawatts of radio waves that won't behave.
Or you'll go insane.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Yeah, that too. Midnight to 3 on the Talk of Las Vegas.
My name is Jeffrey Burke, and I'm the host of the Staying Healthy Show here on KLAV. The Staying Healthy Show is now on KLAV 10 times per week. 10 times for you to hear the best guest in the industry and learn about the best nutritional products available for your good health. You can hear my show weekday mornings at 8 and a new show again at 5. Both shows are drive time for your listening pleasure. The show is sponsored by Stay Healthy Health Food Store, located at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Charleston and Rancho. The hours of the store are Monday through Friday from 9 to 7 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 6, and closed on Sundays. Wayne Rudolph built his store with three principles in mind: great products and selection, a knowledgeable staff, and memorable service every time you visit his store. Please tune into the Staying Healthy Show 10 times per week here on KLAV. I'm looking forward to chatting with all of you and helping you get healthy, be healthy, and stay healthy.
Hey, it's Schnitt. Thrilled to be on the air in Las Vegas on KLAV 1230 AM, the Talk of Las Vegas. Join me every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. If you're tired of the same old blah, blah, blah talk radio in Las Vegas, then tune into the Schnitt Show. Las Vegans, if you want to hear a brand new, fresh opinion on conservative political talk, keep the dial locked in on 1230 AM KLAV or listen to me live online at KLAV1230AM.com.
Hello, I'm Meredith Berger, publisher of the Las Vegas Kids Directory. We are proud to be the longest-running family publication in Las Vegas. Each month, Las Vegas parents pick up a copy of our resource guide to help them locate a wide variety of products and services for their families. We distribute thousands of free copies of the directory all over Las Vegas each month. Each week, I will have on a different family-oriented business discussing important family-oriented topics. Join us for the Las Vegas Kids Directory radio show Sundays at noon.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in and a king-size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
Take a look behind the curtain of Las Vegas real estate. I'm Paul Benedict with Real Estate Backstage. Join the discussion about what's really happening inside our real estate market, from short sales and foreclosures to the realities of loan modifications and current mortgage lending. Real Estate Backstage, every Tuesday morning at 11.
Hi, this is Brian Blackham with Kunin and Carmen. On our next Family Law and Order show, we will continue to discuss topics that are important to you, related to your family, your children, your money, your business, and the divorce process. There is so much finger-pointing as to fault. Other than making the person pointing feel better, is any legitimate purpose served? Please plan to call us with your questions about your personal situation. We also welcome comments and feedback from any of you who have been part of or are a part of the family court process. Next Thursday, July 28th, join Ishi Kunin, Laura Dieter, and me as we answer your questions and provide insight into navigating the dark world that is family court. So please listen to us on KLAV 1230 AM, Thursday, July 28th at 2 p.m. We can also be streamed live on your computer at klav1230am.com. That's Family Law and Order, brought to you by the lawyers at Kunin and Carmen, where children come first.
Hi there, this is Sammy Hagar here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. Now, style's a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody else's business. Please plan ahead, designate before you celebrate, because friends do not let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by Rob. love us on radio, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.